Okay, good morning, everybody. Our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim Shmiras Haloshon is l'schus refuah shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, hishtav refuah shleima v'sach shachayli Yisrael b'korov. So we already discussed two of the examples brought in the art scroll of avak loshon hara. Number one is that, let's say, somebody was considering taking somebody else as a chavrusa. And he says, do you know anything about him? And he says, I remember that when he was in school, he was obnoxious. Yeah, when he was a child, he was very difficult. His parents were constantly backwards and forwards, and they had, you know, he was suspended, expelled, achvaisish, whatever it is. And the truth is that many people turn out very nice after that. Yeah, some of the most difficult children when they're young is because they've got a lot of character and they've got a lot of spirit and a lot of spunk. And if they apply that afterwards to mature way of behaving, then that's what's cool. So therefore he says that's avak loshon hara. You might put somebody off taking that person as a chavrusa or as a partner, whatever it is, by saying these things which are not necessarily bad about him today, but speaking about what happened once upon a time. The second thing was, we said yesterday about the chairman introducing the headmaster at the dinner, and he says wonderful things about the headmaster, but not a word about how the headmaster relates to the school, or how he runs the school, or how he relates to the teachers or the pupils, etc. And that omission is an avak loshon hara. People might say that it sounds like the chairman's not that pleased. He's very impressed with his qualifications and very impressed with his history and his CV, but not impressed with the way that he actually runs the school today, because he doesn't say a word about it when he's introducing him at the school dinner. The third example that he gives in the art school is this is lechvod the dayan here. Somebody who is facing a din Torah in a certain bezdin, yeah, and he knows that somebody else had a din Torah at that bezdin previously. So he phones that person up and wants to find out information about the Bezdin. What did you think of them? What did you think of the Dayonim? Yeah, how did they run the case? Did they really understand it? Were you happy with the Psak? So the Chofetz Chaim, well, it's not the Chofetz Chaim, but the art scroll's interpretation of the Chofetz Chaim on Avak Loshon Hara is that he takes the risk that this person, there's always a disgruntled party. Not always, but most times. There's one party won. They both go to Bezdin because they both think they're absolutely right. And then one party lost the case, and one party won. So the guy who won is happy. The guy who lost the case very often speaks against the Bezdin. He speaks against the Dayanim. He claims that they didn't understand the case properly, or they didn't pay proper attention, that the Av Bezdin fell asleep during the hearing, or whatever it is. Yeah? He's got tinnitus. So therefore, you're taking a risk when you phone up and ask for information about the Bezdin. You're taking a risk that you might end up with a party who lost, and they're going to say bad things about the Bezdin. And therefore, the article says that's an example of Avak Loshon Hara, to even ask the question, because it will lead to Loshon Hara. And we said Avak Loshon Hara is to do something or to say something which will lead to somebody else speaking Loshon Hara. Torreway, Northwest London. Chof Hei Sivan, and the 1st of July, Dine Elimelech van Zeta Shlita. I need my glasses. Halacha and Dina de Malchusa Dina, contradiction or consistence?
Good morning, my dear friends. Rabbi Yanki, thank you so much for the introduction. It's a pleasure to see you again. And Mi'inyan Le'inyan, if I can use your words as a springboard to the opening of my shiur. Rabbi Yanki mentioned the question about someone who lost a Din Torah and who is going to have a Din Torah before a specific Bez Din, and he calls someone who did have a Din Torah before that Bez Din to ask for information. And the Mice is told in the name or in connection with the Brisker Rav, if I'm not mistaken. You will remember that one of the greatest investments, not because you were there, but we are all too young for that, but we know that in the olden days, fattening a cow was a big investment. So butchers, they would fatten the cow and they would invest a lot of money in the development of that specific animal. And then once or twice a year, before Pesach, before Sukkot, they would bring in a shochet and shecht, the cow and sell the meat and realize the profit of the whole year of their investment. And on that occasion, there was a shaila regarding the kashrus of the specific animal, and they asked, they brought the question to the Briskarov, and the Briskarov was boydik and inspected, and he ruled that the cow was a treifa. So that was a tremendous financial loss. It was a whole year's worth of investment, and the butcher was out of pocket. And you know what he said? Mina shemaim, chas v'sholim, I should feed treifas and nevelas. Chas v'sholim. I don't want that on my cheshbon. And he lost a lot of money. And a couple of months later, he had a din Torah. Someone brought him to a din Torah over a negligible amount of money. A small amount of money. And before the Briskarov, and the butcher lost the din Torah. He lost the din Torah. He came out of the din Torah, besmirching the Briskarov, saying that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's an Amar, it's midiraisa midirabonan. He doesn't know. I'll never be mekabel any psakim from him whatsoever. People didn't understand, and they said, you know, a couple of months ago, he ruled that your cow was not kosher, and you lost a considerable amount of money. And you said, mina shemaim. And now, you lost a din Torah over a small amount of money, a negligible amount of money, and you're very upset about it. So they came to the Briskarov and they said, Rav, what's the difference? Why is he reacting so differently? And the Rav said the following: when I ruled that the cow was a treifa, he lost, but nobody won. In the din Torah, not only did he lose, but someone else won. And that's very irritating. So we need to understand, what do we do? What is the function? What is the primary function of a din Torah? And the last Mishnah in the first parak of Pirkei Avos tells us the following: Al shloisha dvorim ha'olam kayom. The world exists because of these three things. The world is sustained because of these three things: Al emes, al din, ve'al shloim. Emes, truth; din, justice; and shloim, peace. So oftentimes if you're asked the question, what is the primary function of a din Torah? What is the main reason to have a din Torah? Is it because we're looking for emes? Is it because we're looking for din? Or is it because we're looking for shloim? What would you say?
Din.
A base din is called a base din. Yeah. Right? Is it? It's not called a base emes. It's not called a base shloim. You know, we have a tradition from Chazal that we always go when things are listed in a Mishnah, and we say this, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, for example, we say every morning. When things are mentioned, we go in a crescendo. Meaning that the last thing we mention is really the apex of what we're looking for, or what we are striving for. So when the Mishnah tells us, Al Shloisha Dvarim Olam Kayem, Al Emes, Al Din, Ve'al Sholim, the ultimate goal is Sholim. Why don't we call a Beis Din a Beis Sholim? Because even though it is something that we strive for, it's not something that we can immediately guarantee that as the outcome of a Din Torah. But that is what we strive for. And what's the raya? If we go to Parshas Yisro, when Yisro tells Moshe Rabbeinu that loy toiv adavar, what you're doing is not really good. You're standing here, you're sitting there, judging the people from dawn till dusk. This is not really good. And you should come up with a system establishing courts of justice for the thousands, for the hundreds, for the tens, this and the other. And there are three psukim, Pasuk Vav, Zayin, and Ches, if I'm not mistaken, in Shmuis Berek Yud Aleph. And the last words are as follows. And every single one of the people who bring the cases to this Din Torah, Bimkoymoy, Yovoy, Visholoy. Al-Mekoymoy, Yovoy, Visholoy. They will go back to their places in peace. So this is what we really strive for. When we come to a Din Torah, we strive for this. But there is a Medrash. There is a fascinating Medrash. A Medrash clear on Israel's instructions to his son-in-law. And the Medrash tells us the following. Before Israel's Eitzah to his son-in-law, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there from dawn till dusk, judging the people, Reuven and Shimon would come to Moshe Rabbeinu with the Din Torah. And what was the nature of that Din Torah? In contemporary terms, let's say, for example, that Reuven crashed his car into Shimon's car. They would come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Reuven would be the Toiveya. He's the one taking Shimon to the Din Torah. But he's the one who crashed into Shimon's car. And he would come before Moshe Rabbeinu, and he would say, Moshe Rabbeinu, I crashed my car into Shimon's car, and I want to pay for the damages that I have caused. And you know what Shimon would respond? But Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm trying to explain to him that I am Moichel Belev Sholim, I completely forgive him. Everyone would come to Moshe Rabbeinu thinking about the other. How can I make this right by you? Going to the Din Torah wasn't about me, it was about you. It was about rebalancing the scales and bringing Shalom back to the community. When Israel tells Moshe Rabbeinu, no, this is not the way you should be doing it, you should set up courts of justice, this and the other, then the understanding, the Medrash explains that level of Siyata Dishmaya, of everyone understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu was there as a conduit representing divine justice, that was, in a way, it went away. And from that moment onwards, people took on the approach that if I go to a Din Torah, it is about me, not about you. And oftentimes people will come to a Din Torah in a belligerent manner, and from the very beginning, they will try and set a tone that is not conducive to making Shalom. From the very beginning. And when that happens, Dayanim normally have a very hard time. But Hashem, Dayanim are very experienced, and especially in our country, in our city, we have experienced Dayanim who know full well how to keep decorum, how to keep the different parties, the Toivea and the Nidva, how to keep them in line, and how to prevent Chas v'sholim machlekes from, you know, escalating within the confines, within the Dalet Amis, or the four walls of a Beis Din. But that is one of the things that, you know, when people ask me, people phone me up and say, I have, you know, this possible claim and this possible taina, should I go for a Din Torah, should I not go for a Din Torah? One of the things that I try, and when I give that advice, immediately I'm ruling myself out, and I'm happy to do that. I'm happy not to be a dayan in a Din Torah if I can help the person go to a Din Torah with a right scoffer, meaning try and reestablish Shalom in your life, in your communal life, in your interactions with your fellow person. And the other question that we are normally asked is as follows. What is the legal basis nowadays for a Din Torah? Now, we know what's the Torah basis for a Din Torah. It's very clear. I've just mentioned a couple of examples. But what is the legal basis? What is the halachic basis, and what is the legal basis? So, the legal basis is as follows. In this country and in over 170 countries around the world, There is something, there are over 170 something countries around the world that are signatories to a convention on arbitration called the New York Convention on Arbitration of 1958. And it became law in this country through the Arbitration Act. It's an act of Parliament, the Arbitration Act of 1996. So what gives Bote Din the legal framework to work in this country as a court of arbitration whose decisions and rulings are not only halachically binding but also legally binding is the Arbitration Act of 1996. And by dint of the fact that the UK is one of the signatories of the New York Convention of Arbitration of 1958, this means that any award, any psak din issued by a basin in this country is legally valid and binding in all 170-something countries around the world that are signatories of the same convention. Let me give you an example. If you have a teivea and you have a nitva, and they come to a din teirah, the first thing a basin will ask the parties to do is to sign something called a deed of arbitration. Without signing a deed of arbitration, no din teirah will be initiated, no din teirah will take place. And refusing to sign a deed of arbitration when the basin has requested that you do so is to be in contempt of basin. Now, once you sign the deed of arbitration, the decision of the dayanim will be absolutely legally binding and halachically binding on the parties, to the extent that if the losing party, let's say that the nitva, for example, the respondent, Toivea is the claimant and the nitva is the respondent. Let's say that the respondent lost the din teirah. And he flees away, he says, I'm not going to pay, and he flees away, he goes to South Africa because he thinks he will be out of our jurisdiction over here, the basin will have no jurisdiction over here in Medina Sayyam, in the faraway place. And the courts will have no jurisdiction over him. He is completely mistaken. Completely mistaken. Why? Because an arbitral award, a psak din, from a legal standpoint, is called an arbitral award. An arbitral award issued by a court of arbitration. And once the deed of arbitration is signed, the beis din is a court of arbitration. An arbitral award is enforceable in any of the 172 countries that are signatories of the New York Convention on Arbitration, to the extent that a solicitor from the UK will be in contact with his counterpart, with his colleague in South Africa, and the colleague in South Africa will take that decision to the court of South Africa, and the court of South Africa will enforce the award, the psak din that was issued here in the UK by one of our bote din.
What if they go to a country which is not a signatory?
Then you're completely right. Then they are in contempt, they are in full contempt of beis din, and they will not, if, you know, there are 200 countries in the world, 172 signatories, so he has basically 28 possibilities. Pardon?
Where are they?
I'll give you a list later. Yeah, if you want to, Chas v'shalom, if the person wants to go, I don't know, to Syria and try his luck there, maybe he would be he wouldn't be reachable from an arbitral standpoint, but he may, you know, the repercussions might be more serious than complying with the decision of the basin. Now, all of this, the concept of Dina de Malchusa is enshrined in Halacha. Is enshrined in Halacha. The Ramah mentions in Choshe Mishpat, in Simon Shin Samach Tes, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Ramah says the following. And let me quote verbatim what exactly the Ramah says. The Ramah says the following. Deloy amrinem dino de malchus adino ela bedavar shish bo ano ala melech oy shul etakanos bnei amedino aval loy sheyadunu bedine yoiv de kochovim deim ken batlu kol dine israel. The Rama says the following, that when do we say dino de malchus adino? When do we say that the law of the land is the law? When there is a benefit for the monarch or for the kingdom, or when it is for the betterment of society. Any law that is issued by the government and is for the betterment of society, says the Rama, acquires the force of halacha, because we do say dina mechus adina. We're not saying that we are all of a sudden doing away with Torah law, with halacha. We're obliterating Torah law altogether, and everything will go through the goyish courts, the din arkois. We're not saying that at all. If a couple gets divorced, for example, not only do they need their civil divorce, they need their get. And doing the civil divorce doesn't preclude them from, or doesn't exonerate them or exempt them from, the need to also take care of their get. But there is a concept of Dina de Malchusa, which whenever Dina de Malchusa, whenever a law is promulgated by the government for the betterment of society, and a clear example is, let me give you a very simple example, seatbelts. Wearing seatbelts. 30, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't need to do that. Rav Moshe was once asked if there was a mechuyev, if one was obligated to wear seatbelts or not. And Rav Moshe explains that Hashem's Hashkocha goes hand in hand with the reality in that society. So if the majority of people don't wear a seatbelt, Hashem's Hashkocha will be that the majority of people don't wear seatbelts. And Hashem will protect people in accordance with that reality. And therefore, nowadays, where it is not only the law, but this is what everyone does, that is also the Ashkocha, and that protects crossing, you know, a pedestrian crossing a red light. It's red for a reason. It's red for a reason. It's Dina Malchusa, you shouldn't do it. Now, what is the... So we see over here, we see the legal framework that enables Botei Din to operate as a court of arbitration, and for the decisions of the Beis Din to be respected in civil law as well. I gave you the example of someone who escaped and went to Medina Sayyam, went to a different country. But even here, if someone does not comply with the decision issued by the Beis Din, even if the person didn't go anywhere, once the deed of arbitration was signed and that Psak Din becomes a legally binding decision, if the person doesn't comply within the allotted amount of time, then the person is entitled. For example, let's keep with the Toivea winning the case, with the claimant winning the case. The claimant's solicitor is then able to take the decision to court, to the high court here in this country, and ask the secular courts to enforce the decision of the Beis Din. And that is completely mutar al pi halacha. There is no additional need for the claimant to request permission from the Beis Din, because everything will be already part of the Beis Din's decision. The Beis Din decided, the Beis Din has already paskened on the matter, the respondent is not complying. Torah law does not want anyone to lose out because of someone else's lack of compliance. And therefore, the person will be able to take it to, or the person's solicitor will be able to take it to court, and the court will enforce the decision issued by the Beis Din. Now, Dina Malchusa is one of the components. The other one of the components, which is very, very important, is Minag Amedina. Customs in one specific place, in one specific country, and also in specific industries. Minhag Medina is very, very important. And we see over here the Shulchan Aruch in Chosha Mishpat in Siman Ein Gimel Sifu Dalet. The Ramo writes the following. Ve'esh oimrim debemokrim sheaminag sheamalve lo yuchalim moichre bepachos mishono donim ganken beYisrael shalva lechaveru aylam alamashkoin deazlinan baze achar aminag. What is the Ramo talking about? The Ramo is discussing a situation where someone lends money against a collateral. And the collateral is given to the lender as a guarantee for the loan. According to Torah law, if the borrower defaults on the loan, the lender is entitled to liquidate the collateral within 30 days of the loan not being repaid. And the Ramo says clearly over here something different. The Ramo says, however, if the meaning of the place is that the lender doesn't sell off the collateral before one full year has passed, we follow Minhag HaMedina. We follow the custom of that specific place. And in that situation, the lender would not be entitled to selling the collateral within 30 days. He will have to wait the full year. The Shach, in a very long, and Shach in Sifkoten Lamedtes, a very long Shach, the Shach goes to town against the Ramo. And the Shach says, and he repeatedly says, that if that is the situation, then bottle dinay Torah. That dinay Torah is no longer existent, and it's not valid anymore. And he gives many examples. But the Shach, in that situation, even though we always pay attention to what the Noisei Kelim or the Shulchan Aruch are saying in terms of establishing the Halacha follows the opinion of the Ramo, that we go according to the Minhag HaMedina, and not the Shach, who disagrees with the Ramo. And that is the Halacha, that is what the Chasam Sofer says in Chasam Sofer Kosher Mishpat, Shuvah Mem Dalit, the Imre Yosher says that, the Dovev Meisharim says that, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe Kosher Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Shuvah Samech Beis, Rav Henkin, in Kisvei Agoyna Rav Henkin, in Chelek Beis, Shuvah Tzadi Vov. So we see over here that everyone follows the opinion of the Ramo. So we have two situations over here. We've discussed the legal framework of the Beis Din as a court of arbitration. What gives the Beis Din a legal standing in the eyes of society, in the eyes of the wider society? Not only the halachic basis, which we know, we mentioned at the beginning, but also the legal framework and the respectability that must be afforded to Bottei Din. When a person goes to a Din Torah, one of the things I ask if I'm involved in a Din Torah, and then someone calls me casually on my phone, calls me casually and says, I want to ask you a question about... I said, hold on a second. Let's not cross some very important boundaries over here. If I were a judge sitting in the secular courts, high court, whatever it is, would you call me on my personal number to discuss the case?
Try to.
He says, no. He says, no, that would be, pasnished. He says, pasnished also, if you don't treat this, if you don't view this with the same gravitas, with the same importance as you would, dealing with the secular courts, le'avdil, but it is very, in a way, the whole hashkafa is flipped upside down. Because you can only respect the decision of the courts, of the basin, if you respect the basin, if you respect the dayonim, and if you respect the process. So all of those ingredients are very important. We need to understand We know there is a halacha, we have bot din. What is the legal framework? What is the legal framework in this country and in any other country around the world where we have bot din? What is the cross-section, what is the interaction between Dina de Malchusa, the law of the land, Minag Amedina, customs in society, and Alocha? What is expected of the parties and what is expected of the basin in terms of enforcing the award, in terms of accepting the award, so on and so forth. Now, this, I'm giving you a glimpse, I'm giving you a very brief overview, because this is really something that requires going deeper and deeper and deeper, so that we can really understand what happens, what if we go to a din Torah. First of all, no one should go to a din Torah thinking, you know, that, you know, the kiddie gloves are off, and now we go in, I'm going in for Chas V'Shalom, I'm going in for the kill. That is the wrong hashkafa. That is the wrong hashkafa.
Does the best thing got the Torah got the obligation to give a psak din as soon as possible?
Oh, very good, very good. So I have an example over here. So we have Bot Eidin are normally overflooded with cases, and the resources are limited, and therefore oftentimes there are delays. But one of the prerequisites of the basin being a court of arbitration, for the basin to be fully operational in compliance with the arbitration, various arbitration acts around the world, one of the prerequisites is that the award should be given in a clear manner and in a timely fashion. That's a very good question. So oftentimes some places will say 15 days, some places will say 30 days. I have over here, I will send this by my future community in Switzerland. I will send this, which is a decision from the Federal Court of Switzerland. And it gives over here who are the judges and federal judge this, that, and the other. And it describes over here a situation where there was a din Torah in one of the bot din in Switzerland. And the respondent didn't agree with the decision, and he filed with the lower level court for the overturn of the basin's decision. And the lower level court didn't find in his favor. So they dismissed his claim. He then appealed to the federal court. And the federal court didn't overturn the decision. You know what they did? They repealed the basin's decision altogether. What is the difference between overturning and repealing? Repealing means, in legal terms, batel umevutel. It never happened. And what is the reason why it never happened? Because the basin took 3 months to issue the decision, and that is not in compliance with the Arbitration Act, which in Switzerland is called PILA, P-I-L-A. That is number one. Number two, the decision wasn't properly explained, and the foundations of that decision were not clearly outlined.
Is this a halachic rule? How long we can schlep the basin?
No. So there is. It must. So we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says Havi Mesunim Badin. One has to deliberate. One has to deliberate. But deliberating and schlepping it out are two different things. Now, I can't speak for anyone else. I can't speak for anyone else because
6 months or a year is a total schlepping.
I can't speak for anyone else. That sounds to me like a very precise question. I'm talking in very theoretical terms. But it should be given within a reasonable amount of time, and it should be a well-reasoned and well-explained, even though the basin doesn't have the obligation to give a proper nimuk of every, the Beis Din's decision doesn't need to be a sheer klali in terms of how it got there, but it needs to be well. Okay, now Raboisai, you know I'm always very conscious of not going over my allotted time. There's so much more that we could talk about and so much more that we could share, but I just want to thank you very, very much and to see how much of a pleasure it is to see you all. And if you allow me, I would like to remember, make a special mention to Mr. Klein, who is no longer with us. He's in the Torah Way Shalmaila. But he was, when I first gave a Torah Way Shia, he was one of the very first people to welcome into this holy Chabura. He had relations in Chile at the moment. At the time, he had family, had relatives in Chile, and he was mekabel mi beseraponim mi ofis. And I just wanted to mention him and Bez Hashem to say that may this shir also be lilu nishmosi. We are still in his ear, and I wish every single one of you aruchos yomim b'shonim gesund und stark, and we should be zocher to always meeting and sharing divrei Torah. Oh, thank you very much.
Two people at the beginning say to each other, we're going to do it in the Gatsbachleikus, we're only going to do it
under the
Lacha. Then you have to deal with the Lacha and not with the custom of the country. No.